Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. My favorite hour each week begins right now. Today, heartburn, indigestion, and irritable bowel syndrome. A closer look. Why a closer look? Why am I going to make you suffer through this mundane topic that everybody talks about endlessly? Why? Because too much emphasis on how digestive enzymes will save the day. Okay, I'll give it my vote. You know where to get the best ones, but not the total picture. Definitely, you'd think, with all the digestive enzymes out there, those that are useful and those that are sort of not useful, but with all that's out there, you'd think we'd still have a lot less, which we don't. First three shelves, first three rows, CVS, Stride-Rite, Save-On, you name it, drugstores across the United States. First three rows of every drugstore given to what? Heartburn, indigestion, irritable bowel syndrome, constipation, that big tube from your mouth to your anus. Not well understood. Not well understood. And I think holistic medicine, as always, to the rescue, isn't doing well. I don't think it's doing the complete job. So I want to deepen your understanding, which means we're going to have to tour outside digestion in the sense of digestive supplements. We're going to have an understanding of the physiology. So, dig in a little deeper. Relax yourself. Yes, you can do this. Get the basics down. Let's take a look at how you can fix yours. Just this week, two of my clients to the ER. Two new clients to the ER. Why? Episodes of heartburn. Not understood. Episodes of heartburn in the hospital. ER. MRIs, CT scans, cystoscopies, digestive tubes down their throat, taking pictures inside the digestive tube to find out what? To find out very little. Number two or three cause of absenteeism in the workforce. You got it. Irritable bowel syndrome. That tube, not well understood, highly irritated. Why irritated? Well, let's take a look at a couple of concepts. Let's go to picture number three. Go to picture number three. If you're new to the show, that's right, you got to get on the website. If you're listening in the car, we're talking about the small intestine. The small intestine, the place where all the digestion occurs. We're talking about all those finger-like projections on the inside of the small intestine, billions of them, each called an intestinal villi. Now, each of those little finger-like projections are antennas. They are extensions of your brain. They are not your digestive system. They are your nervous system. First concept, write it down. Digestive system, wrong. Digestive problems, wrong. You don't have digestive problems. You have problems up in your brain. That is a stretch. That's why you listen to the show, to get these stretched out concepts that you have to wrap your head around. We call it the enteric nervous system. Go down to picture 20. Just so you know, I didn't make all this stuff up today. Picture number 20, the brain in your gut. Now, what do they mean? That means when you go running off to ER with the pain in your chest, when they tell you you have a hiatal hernia, when they tell you you have a gallstone, when they tell you you've got IBS, when they tell you you've got this, that, and the other thing, when they tell you the pictures don't look good, when they tell you you have an ulcer, understand, it's up in your brain. The brain in your gut. That's what this picture says. It's called the enteric nervous system. the enteric nervous system, mediated through a hormone called GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid, GABA. GABA is an opiate. When you go down into that intestinal lining and you pet it, and you sing to it, and you recite poetry to it, meaning you stuff your face with something your body loves to consume in the healthy way, in the assimilable way, in the easy digestible way. When you do that, your intestinal villi spread out and say thank you. Because the villi pick up sensors, rather the sensors in the villi pick up the chemical environment and say thank you and send a message to the brain, and the brain says thank you, and all these opiates get secreted. That's called, it tastes good. Who does this the best? Pregnant women. That's right. There would be no first three rows at Stride Rite, Save-On, or CVS given to indigestion if we all ate like we ate when we were pregnant. But then we have an excuse. All of a sudden, I got to pay the rent, and I got to fix the car, and I got to mow the lawn, and I got to do that. Doesn't matter anymore, right? Because when you're pregnant, Junior's on the way, especially Junior number one. The big king is coming. And Mom and Dad, in love, in their first year or 6 months, everything stops. Everybody relaxes. And what kicks in when Mom starts to relax? That intuitive faculty engineered, wired into her genome is this ability to just go to pleasure for the baby, not for the mom, for the baby. And there you see the instinctual female. You see her eating to please her baby. She's eating to please her baby with a precision unprecedented in human experience. Now, animals eat like that. Children often eat like that. Unfortunately, I'm not going to say always, do you eat like that? No, you don't. You stuff your face with garbage to relieve the pain in your life. That's what you do. Whether you know it or not, that's what you're doing. And your gut gets mad and sends you messages. End of conversation. Is that too complicated? Yes, it is. Why? Because it's so simple, it's true. And we don't like that. We need better solutions, more complicated ones. We need trips to the ER to figure it out. This is the mistake we're making. We're not respecting the enteric nervous system. So if you're looking at that picture, picture 20, if you're new to the show, Dr. Vincent Medici is talking, straighttalk.cc, not .com. If you're driving, you can't get to the website, get it when you're home. 192 shows. Get hip to those shows, the pictures, the whole works. We're talking about the enteric nervous system. That's a bunch of nerve fibers wired into the layers of the stomach, the layers of the small intestine, the layers of the large intestine. That's the digestive tube, mouth to anus. Not complicated. Esophagus, stomach, 25 to 31 feet of small intestine, 5 to 6 feet of large intestine. Mouth to anus, it's a tube. When you dissect someone, you can go in there and remove the tube. Leave the rest. Take the tube. When cats eat mice, if you ever watch a cat eat a mouse, the cat will, like a surgeon, dissect out the intestinal tract of the mouse where the filth is, where the poisons are, where the bacteria is, the infections, the mouth. The cat will discard that and just leave the rest for itself. The cat will eat the tail of the mouse. It will eat the ears of the mouse. Hang in there. But it will not eat the digestive tube because the cat knows that's where the filth is. So understand, this tube is filled with these nerve fibers. And these nerve fibers are looking to be exalted. They're looking for their opiate experience. They're looking to feel like you've treated them well, and they'll treat you well. And when that doesn't happen, well, all hell will break loose. Heartburn, indigestion, IBS, etc. This is of huge significance. What does that mean functionally? You have to train yourself to the point where you know the difference between I'm eating this and stuffing my face so I can absolve myself of my sins, my tensions, my guilts, my pain, and I'm eating something that feels good to my body. You have to train yourself to do that. That's its own art. Not going to get into it. So this is a factor. You take an IBS case, you take someone with heartburn, indigestion, ulcerative colitis, you have to determine. They have to evolve to the ability to choose their foods with respect to this enteric ability of the nervous system down in the GI tract. All right, there's number one. Now, these nerves that you're looking at go from the intestines to the spinal cord. Well, they go from the intestines to the nerve plexuses outside the spinal cord. They go from the nerve plexuses you just looked at outside the spinal cord. And I put on picture 21. Take a look at picture 21. There are those nerve plexuses outside the spinal cord. Picture 21. Celiac plexus, hypogastric plexus, superior and inferior mesenteric plexuses. These are bundles of nerves, electrical junctions outside the spinal cord, but not quite in your intestines. So these finger-like sort of angel hair pasta nerves wrapped around your intestines go to these junction boxes outside your spinal cord, which goes to your spinal cord, and then that spinal cord up to your brain. And that's what you're looking at there if you look at picture number 21. Take a look at picture 21. You're going to see your liver. You're going to see your stomach. You're going to see your pancreas. You're going to see your large intestine. You're going to see your small intestine. This is picture 21. If you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc. And that flow from the organ to the celiac plexus, hypogastric plexus, to the spinal cord, to the brain, is part of a cycle. It's a cycle of reciprocity between the inside lining of your digestive tubes and your brain. And the two are talking to each other all the time. Mediated through what nerve? A nerve you know I never start harping on. The vagus nerve. The vagus nerve, cranial nerve 10. It's a nerve that comes out of your brain. And it is what distributes the electrical circuit into your organs. And that circuit is picking up whether the food in your gut is making your system happy or sad. Happy or angry, orgasmic, as it tries to digest the food you put in your belly or not. All right, I want you to hold that concept. We're talking about heartburn, indigestion, irritable bowel syndrome. We could add ulcerative colitis to that. You could add your hiatal hernias, anything along that line. Again, the concept tied together by fundamentals, not this nonsense of what's the difference between how we go after colitis versus how we go after IBS versus how we go after a duodenal ulcer? What do I take for my duodenal ulcer? What do I take for my gallstones? What do I take for the fact that my HCL production is low? What do I take for the fact that I've got achalasia? What do I take for the fact that I've got a small polyp? So on and so forth. We're not looking at this correctly. We're losing. If you think we're getting healthier, think again. I don't see it. Sorry to say. Not politically correct. Not one for politically correct posturing. Don't like it. It's a euphemism for lie. Lie in the face of the truth. The stats don't show it. There's more disease, more cancer, more of everything than there ever was. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. If I'm optimistic, it's because tandem to this, we're assembling the tools, the science. We're assembling arguments that are powerful, that could go mainstream. But where it's at right now, I don't think so. So I'll keep harping on it. Not approaching this correctly. So take that first concept in. Now, let's go to the intestinal villi, right? These finger-like projections. Remember 15 long minutes ago where we started? Let's take a look at these finger-like projections. Go to picture number two. There in the middle picture is the villi. You see how the villi's got a red artery, a blue vein? That's an artery to pump blood in to that finger-like projection. That's a vein to drain blood out. And that thing in the center, a lacteal, it's lymphatic supply. Those are microlymph. L-Y-M-P-H, lymph. All inside that finger-like projection. And each of those little sorts of cells there, in other words, the very, very perimeter of that finger-like projection, are called the epithelial cells. Go to picture number one. Picture number one. There you go. In that purplish color there, at the edge of that projection, each and every one of those cells are columnar cells. Cells can be squamous, they can be columnar, so on and so forth. This is a columnar cell. Those columnar cells line those finger-like projections. So you've got gazillions of those columnar cells. Those columnar cells have work to do. The work has to do with absorbing. Remember, those finger-like projections, picture three, picture four, those finger-like projections that we call the intestinal villi, they coat the stomach, they coat the small intestine, they coat the large intestine. Yes, they're different. No, they're not all called villi, but they're basically projections that look the same, whether it's stomach, small, or large intestine. So let's not split hairs here. These columnar cells have minds. They have nerves, which oddly enough aren't being shown here. They have nerves right to the end of that point. And these antennas are bathed in your digestive juice. What digestive juice? In other words, the inner lining of your digestive tube is in water. It's in liquid. Now, what's in that liquid? Is that liquid corrosive, or is that liquid compatible with the tissue that's trying to absorb it? Why would it be corrosive? Because you didn't digest it. And if you don't digest it, then that villi can't receive it. But if you did digest it, now you got to catch this, if you did digest it, but the nerve flow, the parasympathetic nerve flow off the vagus nerve is not patent. It's not balanced. It's not functional. If you're not getting vagal flow to that villi, then that villi can't receive it, even if it's receivable. So we're focusing in now on a two-pronged event here. One, is the food you ate being digested, broken down to an assimilable form? And once it's assimilable, can that villi receive it because it's getting proper vagal flow? The answer, in most cases, is no, it's not. Who do you want to ask for that? Hans Hille, picture number 28. Just so you know, I didn't make this up. You can be suspicious, skeptical. You can say this is nonsense. Rest assured, when you tell your friends about the show and their doctor tells them this is nonsense, this is why I always put the quotes on, I put the literature in, I make reference to the books. I'm always making reference to the real scientists. Hans Hille, the stress in disease and health. Stress in health and disease, Hans Hille. Now there's a guy who understood what digestive disturbance was about. If Kaiser Permanente understood a hundredth of what this man gave his life to understanding, as a medical doctor, as an author, as an esteemed lecturer, as a humanitarian, and as a guy that the Canadian government, as well as the world, respected and listened to. If Kaiser et al. Understood a hundredth of what this man understood, we might have to cut out a whole row at Stride-Rite or CVS. We might be able to cut it down to two rows for digestive aids. If you doubt me, read anything by him. Read anything by him. The trip you took to ER, the night you had up. Chronic IBS, chronic heartburn. Why are you getting it and somebody else isn't? Look to stress. Ah, you've heard that before. Of course you have. Not in this way. Because what I just told you leads to this concept. And this is critical for you to understand. Turn to picture number 22. Picture 22, branches of the vagus nerve. There's the vagus nerve coming out of your head down. That's where it's coming. It's coming out of your head, behind your neck, and down into those organs. And look at picture 23. There's you with the anterior head carriage. Once your posture corrupts, in other words, what we're calling the normal aging process implies compression of vagal outflow. The vagus nerve that controls the power of your digestive system is controlled by the position of your body. There is a structural aspect to this that is of vast significance. And all the shows I've done on manipulative therapy and the relationship between structure and function and posture and the rest of it are all about this. So we're not going to overdo it. But here you see, and if you've listened to the show as many times as I hope you have listened to the show, then you'll understand the hookup here. What are we talking about digestive disturbance, IBS, and the rest of it when we don't have a grip on vagal outflow? Why are we doing that? Why are we spending time in Pilates classes, in yoga classes, when we're not walking out with deep postural shifts? If you're not feeling in a Pilates class, a yoga class, an exercise class, a stretch class, the bliss of a successful manipulation, self-applied, meaning you stretched your neck into another position and felt the release, you're not making the connection then between vagal outflow and then how it affects your digestive tube. This is so covered. This is so understood. This is so emphasized. We created the word enteric nervous system. In other words, what I'm saying is to overlook the enteric nervous system, to not include it first and foremost in our understanding of the second or third leading cause of work absenteeism each day in the United States, IBS. There is not an IBS case I have ever seen, not one, that is not about this. And many of your heartburn cases, and all of your ulcer cases, other than H. pylori, all of your ulcer cases are about this. This isn't little, this is massive. If people understood this, we might have to take out two rows at CVS. There'd only be one left. That would be bad. Not for the American public, but for CVS et al. If you know what I mean. Anterior head carriage, not a lot different than what happens down below in the psoas muscle. If you look at picture 31, there it is. There's the psoas. There's the problem. That psoas muscle that I never start harping on gets short, distorts the posture of the body, brings the head forward on top of the head being brought forward because of the way you slouch at work all day. the way you sit there and type, watch TV, just the natural loss of bone through natural aging, the whole thing together distorts the body. And what's it going to leave you with? A distorted, twisted vagus nerve. Thus, diminished nerve supply to your digestive organs. Gee, why didn't neurology tell you this? Why didn't the ER guy bring this up? Because they didn't study Sille. They haven't studied Fulford. They haven't studied Stillman. They want to know what to do to fix acute care. Why? This is your responsibility. Don't point the finger at them. This is your responsibility. You have to get the education they don't have the time to get. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Next week, we're bringing on Dr. Aguilera. We're going to chew it up about dentistry. I don't know what I'm going to start with. Titanium implants versus ceramic implants? How not to get tooth decay? What are all the things dentists are supposed to do that they don't do? What are the things that they're doing they shouldn't do? I'm talking about not just the regular ones, the holistic ones. I got a bone to pick with the holistic guys just as much as the conventional ones. Too much upsell. Upsell. Unnecessary procedures. If you study the history of dentistry since the 1800s, it's filled with these little shortcuts that were taken for a bunch of reasons that have cost you time, money, and teeth. So next week, Dr. Aguilera, we're going to do probably at least a four-part series over the next couple of months. So keep that one in mind for next Saturday. Okay. Vagal compression. Keeping your intestinal villi in contortions. Picture number four. Go to picture number four. Look at that. That's a finger-like projection. That's blown up 40,000 times. That is a single intestinal villi. That is either relaxed and saying, I can receive, or that is twisted and saying, I cannot receive. That is an autonomically, vagally mediated process. I have never seen an IBS case, an ulcerative colitis case, where the vagal flow to those organ systems was not grossly distorted. End of story. Forget nutrition. Fix flow. How do I fix flow? Everything you do for your health, from choosing your food to stretching your body to getting massage to letting go of negative thoughts, is in the interest of pleasure. Pleasure. If you get good enough at it, your body will thank you by producing opiates. Those opiates will have a reciprocal effect on these villi. These villi will open more as you feed them more and more opium. Get your villi stoned. That's what you do. That is not too complicated. It's simple. But for a lot of people, knowing pleasure is not simple. It is complicated. You feel sorry for yourself. You're enraged at everything. Why were you born? Basically, you're not really happy you're here. That's what it comes down to. People don't relate to a statement like that until it's too late. You'll relate to this. At the root of a lot of people are very negative emotions. Deep down inside, you're harboring a lot of stuff. You can't find pleasure in your process. It's too intercepted with those negative patterns, and those villi will twist. People don't even know how to eat. Finding pleasure in food. I didn't say gluttony. I didn't say knocking yourself out with Red Bull and sugar and a six-pack. No, I'm talking about pleasure. That aside, we have structural issue. That's psoas, anterior head carriage. Now, hydrochloric acid, pancreatic enzyme, hydrochloric acid, and bile. Let's forget all this emotional mumbo-jumbo. Forget the structural stuff. Let's just talk about the pure chemistry of digestion. Simple. Food in stomach, HCl. Food in small intestine, bile. food and small intestine mixed with bicarbonate ion and pancreatic enzyme, amylase, protease, lipase. When you take that great big burned steak, that well-done chuck roast, pot roast, there's a favorite. That's not what heartburn is all about, pot roast. I left home young because my mother would make pot roast. Just the word pot roast. What is that? Pot roast. What are they sell that for like 99 cents a pound at Ralph's. Pot roast and chuck steak. Knock yourself out. A good well-done pot roast. With gravy, tons of lard. And why don't we throw in mashed potatoes? The powdered ones. That aren't even potato. There you go. Prison food. No, high school cafeteria food. All right. High school cafeteria lunch, pot roast. Two servings of it. Down the gut. What turns that to what your villi can absorb? HCl. Lots of it. Better have lots of HCl from the parietal cell of the stomach. Bile. Better have lots of bile. And pancreatic enzyme. In any given moment, the ability to take Taco Bell at 2 o'clock in the morning, Jack in the Box at 4 a.m., and turn it to liquid food so your intestinal villi can absorb it easily without getting annoyed and angry. In other words, without getting heartburn, indigestion, or irritable bowel syndrome, if you could take enough HCl, if you could summon up the HCl of a lion, if you could drop in enough bile, if you could throw in triple the amount of pancreatic enzyme, you could take anything. You could take glass and wood and liquefy it to make it easily assimilable, if you could. The question is, can you? Well, when you're 18, you can. Maybe when you're 30. Maybe when you're 40. But sooner or later, and here's the biochemical aspect here, made simple, I hope. Sooner or later, there's less HCl available. Those parietal cells burn out. They don't do so well. The gallbladder, as you know, gets clogged. And the pancreatic cells get burned out. They get tired of producing this stuff. Those cells that make digestive enzymes, those cells that make HCl, those hepatocytes that make bile, the passages that the bile comes down, the bile ducts, they get clogged and those cells get old. They get tired. You make less. Every 7 years, you make less. That is true. So what's digestion? Well, you've got to have this enteric nervous system working for you. You've got to have foods chosen that don't make digestion work too hard. And even if you do or don't, you've got to have organ systems that have the ability to drop those chemicals, HCl, bile, amylase, protease, and lipase, into your gullet, into your duodenal area, the first part of your small intestine. You've got to have all those factors working for you. The issue is multifactorial. You don't talk about heartburn, indigestion, and irritable bowel syndrome or colitis unless you look at multiple factors. And that portfolio per person is per person. There's no cookbook answer. You can't reduce this to digestive enzymes, nor can you reduce this to massage therapy. You can't reduce this to scars. You have to understand that each person is their own special code. And that's the way you got to go at it. That's what we don't do. Doctors don't know how to do this. Patients don't know how to do this. And yet that's where it is. And isn't it just common sense? Could your IBS be the same as Joe's IBS or Mary's IBS? Is your heartburn your neighbor's heartburn? your colleague's heartburn? No, everyone's got different reasons, and you have to piece them together. These are the driving forces. For one person, it's highly enteric, meaning emotional. For another person, they just got born with a weak pancreas. Their pancreas doesn't pump it out. For another person, bile. Without bile, you don't emulsify your fat. If you don't emulsify your fat, you will not absorb your fat. If you're not eating protein and digesting it with your fat emulsified, you won't absorb your protein or your fat. Now, what's that person's heartburn from? Or that person's failure to thrive? Or that person's IBS? If you're not digesting your fat and your protein, you're going to make products of incomplete digestion, those acids, butyric and nitric. Those nitrogenous acids, butyric acid from poor fat digestion, these things are going to irritate the villi. The villi are going to let you know it. They're going to cringe. Nociceptive fibers on the inside lining of your digestive tube are going to tell you you're in pain. Why? Because you don't have enough bile. But what about the emotional thing? But what about the psoas? What about anterior head carriage? You see, that's the point. Each person's different. Each person has to bring a bunch of these pieces together. It's Sherlock Holmes. It's not cookbook. That's what's exciting. Know thyself. Know thyself is learning this stuff. Love thyself is taking action. There's a concept. When you're in pain, when you're going to have part of your bowel resected, your gallbladder cut out, when you, like two of my clients this week, went off to ER with different sorts of gastric distress, had every imaginable test, cost themselves money, taxpayers' money, insurance companies' money. I mean, nobody wins with this scenario. Nobody. Underneath a heap of lies is always, always sadness. Why? To come home from Kaiser or wherever, simply being told, take a drug to relieve the pain? To the point where ultimately then something gets cut out and people live like this. Why? Love thyself is get the facts. All right, so those intestinal villi, the enteric nervous system, structural issues, the pure chemical angle on this, the parietal cells dumping HCl. By the way, what are those parietal cells under the control of? The vagus nerve. Keep that one in mind. If you internalize your emotions, especially if you're a blood A, blood A's are famous for internalization. Blood A's are always taking care of everybody else's feelings. If you're empathic, if you're not expressive, if you're afraid to tell somebody to, you know, bugger off, whatever it is, you're going to cringe down there in the stomach. And you're not going to make your HCl. You're going to shut off that which makes HCl. But more than that, you're going to shut off that which counters HCl. That which counters HCl is mucus. Mucus in the stomach buffers the stomach lining. They're both parasympathetically controlled. No mucus, you burn a hole. No HCl, you don't digest. Either way, stress kills the stomach. We love that H. pylori thing. You know, everything's H. pylori. Doctors love that. They have 1% of it understood. And that 1% markets out into every gastroenterology journal in the universe, in all the galaxies. Because H. pylori is known to be a cause. Well, fine. For every H. pylori, there's 10,000 people who are under such gross autonomic imbalance, such gross stress, that they don't make enough mucus to counterbalance their HCl, or they don't make any HCl. Bile ducts. If you're not patent, biliary patency, You're not going to digest your fats. And protease, amylase, and lipase from the pancreas. All of these mix into a brew. Now that brew has to have the space to digest. It has to have the space to digest. In that space, I think I could give you the best picture of that space is picture number 24. Go to picture 24. Dangers of forward head posture. Now, I just want you to look, not at the head. Picture 24. I want you to look at the positions of both those rib cages. I want you to take your time with this. I don't want you to nod your head like you understand when you don't understand. That's why I repeat myself. Because too many times people are saying yes. Worst sign when you're talking to somebody, they're nodding their head. Hint. Don't nod your head when someone's talking to you. It means you don't understand. 9 times out of 10. I mean, I've studied this. My life depends on being able to get you to understand. When you're nodding your head and your eyeballs are moving from left to right, I'm sure you're not listening. So just relax and look at dangers of forward head posture. Look at the person on the left versus the right. You see the guy on the right, the rib cage is tilted down. Now I want you to take your hand and I want you to put it on your sternum. I want you to put it on that concavity between your nipples, male or female. Right between the nipples, there's this little concavity of bone. I want you to put your hand down below that bone until it comes to that point. Again, I want you to take your hand, put it between the nipples, right in the center, where there's that concavity, where it caves in. It's called the sternum, and then drop lower than that to the little point. That's the xiphoid process. Now go below that, the solar plexus. Remember you got punched there? The solar plexus, that's where your heartburn is. That's where you feel your anxiety when you hold it in. That area on you, the solar plexus, when that rib cage tilts down, you crush the solar plexus. Just take that in. When that area, when you tilt that rib cage down because your posture shifts, because your head comes forward, because you start to develop a curve in your upper back, when your low back is in the wrong position and that rib cage tilts down, it crushes the solar plexus. Now, why is that important as far as heartburn, indigestion, IBS. Why? Well, in that solar plexus is the celiac ganglion. In that solar plexus is a place where the vagus nerve funnels itself to an operating center. In other words, a place where it's like a junction box. I've got a picture of that junction box. Go to picture number 30. Picture number 30. Take a look at picture number 30. That picture's as good as I could do for this concept here. Lower left-hand side, celiac ganglion. That's the junction box of the nerves coming off the spinal cord to that spot. That celiac ganglion is your solar plexus where I just told you to put your finger. When that rib cage tilts down, you crush your solar plexus. That's a structural distortion. Once that celiac ganglion is crushed, well, now do this. Now do this. Go to picture 21. Got to do it with the pictures. If you don't have a computer, well, congratulations for taking a shot at it, but get a computer. Listen to this show online. Look at that picture. Picture 21. Celiac plexus. What do I mean? Look at the spinal cord. Go about a third down and to the right where you see celiac plexus. That nerve plexus I just showed you in that other picture. I just showed you the celiac plexus in that other picture. Picture 30 is the celiac plexus. Picture 21, well, you're seeing the relationship of that plexus to where the intestines are, where the spinal cord is, and where the brain is. When you tilt that rib cage, you torque that plexus. As that plexus is torqued, you don't get nerve flow to your organ systems. It's that simple. Now, who's another person that's going to suffer from that distortion? Look at picture 25. You got it, fat people. If you're overweight, and I mean not much overweight, but definitely if you're overweight, if you're more than 20 pounds overweight, which a lot of people are, you see that picture there? Again, where are we now? We're picture number 25. Look at that intra-abdominal fat. As that intra-abdominal fat grows, how many people do you know that look like the guy in picture 25? About 80% of the population's picture 25, last time I looked. I try not to look. Picture 25. After a day doing what I do, I like to walk around with my eyes closed. I've seen enough in a day. Trust me. Look at that intra-abdominal fat. Do you know, and I did a show on visceral fat, you may not even be fat and have tons of intra-abdominal fat, but if you're fat, you've got lots of that intra-abdominal fat. That fat is pressing backwards into that celiac plexus. Fat is the ultimate structural issue. Fat creates an enormous amount of structural compression. How many people suffer from indigestion, taking antacids that barely work, taking digestive enzymes that don't work, when the fact of the matter is they got to lose 30 to 50 pounds? And nobody ever tells them. Suppose you went to Kaiser and they said, sorry, no HCL. No HCL blockers for you, Charlie. You got to lose weight. Suppose they went to the chiropractor. No visceral adjustments for you, Charlie. You got to lose weight. Suppose they went to the massage therapist. Sorry, Charlie. No massage for you. You got to lose weight. Suppose they went to the nutritionist. And the nutritionist said, their last hope, no digestive enzymes for you. You have to lose weight. You see? That's what I'm talking about. At least we could say, look, you're never going to get rid of this until you lose weight. We're going to give you digestive enzymes in the meantime. Now, that's fair. You're never going to get rid of this, Charlie, till you lose weight. No judgments. It's okay to be fat. We've all been fat. But while you're figuring out how to get the time to lose weight, we're going to give you massage. We're going to give you chiropractic adjustments. We're going to give you all this stuff. But the bottom line is lose the weight, or you're going to go around in circles, and you're only going to get to second base. That would be good. If everybody would just come to terms with that, that would be good. But you see, without saying that, because people are afraid to lose the sale, you're afraid to lose the sale of the digestive enzymes, you're afraid to lose the sale of the chiropractic adjustment, you're afraid to lose the sale of the massage client, you're afraid to insult people. Tell that woman she's 20 pounds overweight and she's going to shoot you. People are ready for that. The best ones are the cigarette smokers. They are really a crack up. You say anything about cigarettes, the minute you even go, they look at you like, yeah, go ahead, say it. I'm going to pay you top dollar for you to tell me that the problem is cigarettes. Like, I don't know that. Like, I haven't heard that from my, even from my MD, I've heard that. So I'm going to pay you to tell me that. So what do doctors do? Holistic included, they don't say it. See, we got lots of ways out on this. You got IBS, you have heartburn. Heartburn. You have a hiatal hernia, gastric reflex, achalasia, whatever you want to call it, esophageal spasms. You got lots of intra-abdominal fat. You got visceral fat. You've got fat more than 20% on your body. Lose weight. There it is. I'm showing you a picture. Dangers of visceral fat. You're looking at it. I've explained the anatomy to you. You know where the celiac ganglion is. You can see where that intra-abdominal fat is. It's going to press back into the celiac ganglion, compress them, give them a clinical compression. Now, Are you saying I am so confused? Is it my neck? Is it my psoas? Is it my diaphragm? Is it my celiac ganglion? If you're saying that, it's because you don't understand what I'm saying. All these things are the same thing if you were to take the time to study. You have to study. Health is something you need to study. It's worth that. You have to study where to put your money, and you have to study health. If you just studied health and where to put residual capital into real estate, if you just studied those two things, you would have a good life. Health and where to put your money. Just study that. Watch the relationships improve. Yours, theirs, hers, his, the kids, everybody. Health and where you put your money. Now, where you put your money, well, people know they have to study that. That's okay. Health is not something doctors can give you cookie cutter. Nutritionists, chiropractors, massage therapists, medical doctors, surgeons, nobody can give it to you cookie cutter. You have to understand it, or you're going to listen to a show, especially like mine, and you're going to say, I can't do this. The guy's mentioned 800 things here in 60 minutes. I'm an accountant. This is Greek to me. You have to study it. All right. I know I'm sinking in. Let's keep going. Let's take a look at the diaphragm. Let's take a look at the diaphragm. Go down to picture number 33. Picture number 33. Do you see that red thing? Picture number 33, that blood vessel. Do you see where that X is? Can't miss the X and what it's pointing to. That's half diaphragm. That X is half the diaphragm. Take a look at picture 35. That dome-shaped thing up there around the ribs. That dome-shaped thing covering both sides of the ribs like a bell is the diaphragm. In that picture, you're going to see a number, 5 and 6. Those are holds in the diaphragm. Those holds in the diaphragm you're looking at in that last picture, picture 33. So we looked at 35 and 33. Now we're looking at 33. Do you see that white area? That's a tendon. And you see those holds again. Where that red thing is, that's a hole in the diaphragm that the aorta comes through. Now look at the hole just above the red thing. That hole with that tube coming through, that is your esophagus. That's your esophagus. Now that diaphragm and that psoas muscle all meet where that hole is. The diaphragm and that psoas muscle all meet where that hole is. Take a look at picture 34. Picture 34. Look at picture 34. The blue psoas is meeting that dome-shaped diaphragm. Where the blue psoas meets that diaphragm, look at picture 33 now. Guys, I know you may not like that computer, but you've got to get with it. Try getting through school today without being versatile in that computer. Look at all our movies in Hollywood. Everybody's a gizmo on the computer. People can type faster than you can talk. If you can't type on a computer faster than most people can talk, you're not computer savvy. You're not even computer literate. It literally works that way. I've seen kids, type on an iPhone as fast as you can talk. You don't even see their hands move. It's unreal. It's also dangerous. It's beautiful, and it's disgusting. Here's the bottom line. It's here. And unless you want to get left in the dust, get hip to it. Picture 33, look at that. If that central tendon of the diaphragm crushes that tube, you're going to have heartburn. Again, I'm bringing you back. Those of you with hiatal hernias, those of you with heartburn, those of you with esophageal spasms, the minute that tendon, that fibrous white sheath, is too tight, what to do about it. What to do about it? Again, that's your specific portfolio. Do you need a portfolio? Are you in trouble with your health? 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. You give that office, my office, a call and get out of trouble. Get on a program integrating something specific to you in the direction of getting you to that next level. That's the concept there. For lack of understanding how to stretch, for understanding how to cleanse, for understanding how to deal with your psyche, you're going to compress that space. And that space will spasm out that esophagus as it drops through the diaphragm. And you will whistle Dixie in the middle of the night. Heartburn, reflux, esophageal spasms, IBS, digestive disturbances, those recorded, those unrecorded, those known, those unknown, occurring in any moment where all the negatives overload your positives. All the negatives overlooking the positives. Look at picture 39. There's the underside of that dome-shaped diaphragm. You went out to eat. Did your villi open to that food? Did you chew your food? Did you feel love in that food? Did you relax during that digestion? Did your pancreas give it the enzymes? Was the gallbladder clear? Did the HCL flow? Was your diaphragm stuffed, twisted because of your psoas and crushing your food? Did your bowels work? Did you have the adrenaline to peristalt? Or are you synthesizing these together to have a wonderful digestive tube? If not, 714-850-1007. Dr. Aguilera, next week. Make sure you hear it. 4 series on the teeth. Ta-ta.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.